Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We're broadcasting this afternoon from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty with you. Glad you're with us on a Tuesday afternoon. This opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of the Eagle Hour, proud supporters of Southern Miss Athletics, and a great place to take your family for dinner tonight. Andrew Abbedy will be joining me later in the program. It is tournament day. Play-in games start today in Montgomery, Alabama. The Golden Eagles will take the field tomorrow afternoon. Andrew Abbedy will be here to preview that. But before we get to that, I've been wanting to do this extended interview for some time, and I'm very happy to have women's basketball coach Joy Lee McNellis on the Super Talk Eagle Hour for, I don't know, what, maybe the 100th time, Coach McNellis? It's been a while.
I tell you what, I just appreciate it. But I would like to say good luck to our Eagles tomorrow. I tell you what, they are playing well. And I just don't think that there's no one. I know that we're not going in the number one seed, but goodness, we're playing well. I don't know who can stop them as well as we're playing right now.
Put this in perspective, Coach McNellis. It's another sport, but coaching is coaching. Rick Cleveland pointed out to me last week that 70% of the baseball roster was lost last year to graduation and the draft, and yet here they sit with 38 wins going into the tournament. What kind of coaching job is that by Christian Ostrander?
I tell you what, Coach Oz has done an amazing job, and I think what is also amazing, yes, they've lost so many players to several reasons. But I will tell you, he's a heck of a coach. I mean, he comes in and replaces the legend, Scott Barry,
right,
which Coach Oz was his assistant. But I'm telling you, moving over that chair puts a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And I think how Coach Oz has handled it and how the guys have responded is quite remarkable, because it's not easy what has happened for them.
No, it's not. In a very competitive league, you know all too well about that. So good luck to the guys. We're going to be over there all week and looking forward to covering that. But I want to get to you, Coach. And first, I want to dispel rumors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Joy Lee McNellis is not planning to retire or resign.
No, sir. I am not retiring. Well, yes, sir, I should say. I'm not retiring. I'm not resigning. You're stuck with me, so maybe we can have this many interviews next year. No way. And I know I put it on Facebook or social media, but I was talking about Brooks Donald coming in, Williams, as my associate head coach, and we've worked together in previous years here and at Memphis. And, yeah, no, I am here. Y'all are stuck with me. Unless well, Jeremy decides that I'm out of here.
Well, I have no indication that Jeremy's even thinking along those lines, Coach McNeil. All right, tell us about the new coach. Let's hear about it.
Coach Brooks Williams. She was at Little Rock when they started their program as an assistant coach and really kind of got that off and rolling. And then she came to me at Memphis. The time she was with me at Memphis, we went to the Sweet 16 of the WNIT. We were returning all of our players when this job came open. And I tell you, it was a tough decision, but it was a decision that I needed to make, and it was a decision with my heart to come home. And before I made that decision, I talked to her, and I said, are you going with me? And she said, yes, I'm going. And so in year two here, which I wasn't hired till late May, I think like the 24th or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So recruiting was done. We played with the hand that was dealt. And then it gave us a year to recruit. That recruiting class was ranked nationally. We signed Player of the Year in Mississippi, in Kendra Reed. We signed Player of the Year in Arkansas, Pauline Love, and a lot of all-state players, basically from Arkansas and Mississippi, to be very honest with you. And so that's kind of when we took off the program. And Brooks is largely responsible for that group, recruiting class. And so she was with me here a couple of years, and then she got the head job at McNeese State and was there 9 years, and I begged her not to take it. I said, dead-end job. You'll never win there. I can't believe you would go, blah, 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 blah. And so, in turn, she 6 out of 9 years she took in the postseason play before those being in the NCAA tournament. And so she turned it. Well, then she goes to Alabama as an assistant and feels like she can go to Louisiana Monroe under the previous administration, not the administration that's there now, but under the previous administration, and unfortunately did not have a very good career there. Set out last year to be with her son and have knee replacement. And so now she's with me, and I'm going to tell you, I am excited. And people that are in the basketball world, they have sent us texts, they have sent us emails, comment. They like the sisters are back together. But I'm very blessed to be able to have her. She is a go-getter. Like, for example, last night, she's staying with us right now. And all my coaches got in late, really late. And I said, do not come to the office. Sleep in and make sure that you just get your paperwork together and just take a nap in the afternoon. Well, she's in the office already. So
she didn't listen, Coach.
She didn't listen. She didn't listen. She said, this is what we do, Coach. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
So I am really excited to have her.
What are the skills as a coach, recruiter, et cetera, she brings to your program, Coach Morales?
Tremendous energy. And she's just a great recruiter. She relates to the young person. She relates to the parents. They just kind of cling to her in recruiting. And so that's the recruiting aspect. She's the best recruiter I've ever had in 30 years as a head coach. And so she is going. Like, we were on the phone yesterday, as soon as the events ended, offering on scholarship of where the event she covered. Mm-hmm. And in the 27-28 class, we made a lot of offers yesterday.
Is that right?
Just babies that were the events that she was at. So it was really good. Basketball-wise, I think she has an in-depth knowledge of, you know, our pressing game, which I like to press, obviously. She's very good at making adjustments there. She's very good. She also ran our 55 defense, which is our matchup zone that you've seen us win some games with. Mm-hmm. You know, she's very familiar with that. But I will tell you, she has a keen offensive mind. She really does. But I think the biggest thing she's going to bring me is just the day-to-day operations of the office and help me oversee our staff. So I think it's awesome. She'll do a lot of marketing for us. Mm-hmm. She'll do a lot of public relations in the community. So we're excited. Glad to have her.
Good. Now, Coach, what are you doing right now in basketball? Time of the year bring to you?
Sure. We had a recruiting weekend this past weekend. We also had a recruiting weekend in April. So there are some newcomers of the younger players that I'd mentioned earlier. But there are players that we've added to our database. And honestly, most of them are younger. We're pretty set with our 25 class of who we're targeting. And so we have camp coming up. We have our elite camp that will be here in June. And, you know, that camp, to be honest with you, is our camp that's our recruiting camp. Mm-hmm. And so it is the 9th and 10th of June. And so we want these players that we have seen in these camps. And so we're doing a lot of work with their coaches, because majority of them are too young, and get them to come in. We're also preparing for our other camps right now. Our kids camp, little kids camp, kindergarten through fifth grade, which is a fun camp. We do the Fun Factory. Mm-hmm. And it starts on June the 3rd, the day after my birthday. And so it is going to be a fun camp, and we need some players to sign up for it as well.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that. We've got Joylene McNellis on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. She lost a really big name to graduation, but she's got a really big name coming in, and we're going to talk about that, all things women's basketball, Lady Eagle women's basketball, with Coach Joylene McNellis. Super Talk Eagle Hour continues after a short 3-minute break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. The all-new Genesis sedans and SUVs are just the finest vehicles on the road today. And it's open, the beautiful brand-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We thank them for all they do. Also want to remind you about Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen is just the best, and she works down there 7 days a week just about, so that you'll always find the best selection of Southern Miss apparel anywhere on the planet at Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. We're talking to head basketball coach Joylene McNellis. All right, Coach, obviously, you don't just replace a kid like Dominique Davis, but you signed, now correct me if I'm wrong, you signed the Kentucky Girls Basketball Player of the Year?
That is correct.
Now tell us how that happened, Coach.
Well, we had gotten in on her, Jack Trosper and Caitlin Pahokee, that worked with me prior. We all had watched her and said, she is who we need to play point guard for us just because of her leadership. She can shoot it, and she's a true point guard. And so she's not really, she's going to help us replace Dom, but I don't know that you replace a player like Dominique Davis.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah, but Tiffany Rowe is very talented. And, yes, she was Kentucky Player of the Year and had an unbelievable high school career. She scored over 3,000 points in her high school career. But she's just a special young lady. And so because of us seeing her early, and she and her dad came on campus and her brother last summer, and so it was good. It was really, really good. And, you know, it just worked out for us. And I will tell you, I was kind of concerned up to the day she signed because other schools came in. A few Power Fives came in, you know, because they were able to watch her in July. Mm-hmm. And she played at that. She played on a kind of a no-name team. And so people did not, college coaches, you go to where the players that you know are. And fortunately, some coaches in that area had told us, hey, you know, she's really good. She's playing on that no-name team, but she's good. And so we saw her she turned 11th grader in the spring, actually, of her 11th grade year. So we got after her, and she wants to come in and make a difference, and I truly think she will. I don't think she'll replace Dom, though.
Is she the kind of talent that can come in and make an immediate contribution?
Yes, and that's definitely something that, and you don't know. You know, when you go from a high school point guard to a college point guard, which I personally think is the toughest position to learn and the system to learn, you know, I just think that it's extremely challenging because the speed of the game, the pace of the game, you know, Caitlin Clark, as great as she is in moving up a level in the pros, it's the same thing. I mean, she's having turnovers because of the pace and speed of the game. And every time you go up a level, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that that will be a challenge for her first. And I think then she'll be fine because, you know, she's a worker. You didn't get to be Kentucky Player of the Year just by doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, she definitely went that extra mile to be able to make a difference.
With Dom graduating and some of the other players that won't be around, Malia will be back, correct?
Yes, well, Malia and Ja'Coria Bracey.
Okay, so how much are you going to lean on those kids to be the leaders of the team?
They have to be. I've had a meeting with them, and then I've had a meeting with our returning players. But the two of them are obviously the core of returning, and they are players that has to be an impact for them because of what they want to be where Dom is ultimately. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to win. Your team has to win for that to happen, number one. And then your skill set has to improve and a level of consistency. And that's what Dom was, particularly her last 2 years with us, was such a consistent player.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about them, about how I've challenged them. And I think that they're willing to go and take on that responsibility. I'll be honest with you, I think it's kind of scary because I told Malia she can't be on the bench in foul trouble. No way. She's
right. got
to be on the floor, and then she's got to decide she wants to be a beast inside, right. not just somebody that's going to catch it and pass it. She's mm-hmm. got to be a beast. And I will tell you, during this break, she's been working out with her strength coach every day and getting stronger, getting her lower body and her upper body stronger to be able to make a difference for us.
You know, Coach, in the era that we live in now, where you basically have to re-recruit your team every
yeah.
year, and there's this
yes.
wholesale trend, which is a subject for another day. Neither one of us like it very much, I know. But,
no.
boy, what a model of loyalty has Malia Grayson been to this university. For people that don't get the privilege that that I and some other people do to get around these kids, what a wonderful young lady.
Oh, she is. She is simply amazing. And, you know, I credit her parents with the way they've raised her. But Malia could have gone anywhere she wanted to go in the state. She could have gone to Ole Miss. She could have gone to Mississippi State. She chose to stay home. Obviously, in the world of the transfer portal, she could have packed up and left. But, you know, she's a young lady that understands loyalty. She understands the value of being a hometown girl here and the importance that it is to show consistency, to show some resilience. And she truly believes it'll pay off for her. And I do too.
Right.
Truly believe that.
Right.
But she is just, you know, she has never talked back, ever. That's amazing in our society today. You can get after her. Now, she may get emotional or as crying, but she's never going to disrespect you.
Right.
She's just a first-class young lady. She really is. And, you know, she has the event that she hosts in August every year.
Yep.
To be able to, at the Boys and Girls Club, raises money for them and gives gifts to some of the children that are in need. But she just has a kind heart. And I will tell you, I wish her personality sometimes comes out on the court because she's so nice. You know, she just don't get after you.
Uh-huh.
You kind of have to get her mad, and it's hard to get her mad to be able to do that. But she's just such a kind-hearted individual.
Yeah, she's a great player and really a great kid. We got about 2.5 minutes left, but I want you to kind of give us an overview of what type of team you're anticipating putting on the floor this year with the new faces.
You know, we signed three early, and obviously Tiffany Rowe, but we signed two young ladies, one out of Louisiana that was Player of the Year in Louisiana, Whitney Hart, that is a jumping jack. She will play our 4-5 for us, but extremely athletic, finishes at the rim. I think she's going to be the surprise recruit, to be very honest with you. We have Micah Cooper out of Dallas, out of the Dallas area, that was injured but had a great year this year coming off of injury. She did not play her junior year. But I will tell you, she was region player of the year in the Dallas area and had a great year, had a great year. She will be a 3-4 player for us. But, you know, the thing with her is a little like Dom Davis when Dom got here. Micah's got to understand a motor increase. So just kind of going that extra mile. But we believe the players that we're putting around her will be a game changer for us. I think those three high school players are, you know, going to be a difference maker for us. I really do. You know, even though they're high school players, we signed a kid out of Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, Jemiah. Jemiah came out of there, played at Harrison Central. And, you know, she just gives us some depth in the post area. She's truly a rebounder. Expected to come off the bench for us and just give us some grind of what she's been through. We're currently in on a couple of others that have not made their announcements yet. So we're excited about them as well. They have committed to us, but we're waiting for their announcements because we're having to get a little more paperwork done on them. But we're excited about them.
It sounds exciting to me, Coach. And the last 30 seconds we've got left, I'm happy to report to all our listeners, you and I talked a little bit before we came on the air, you're feeling good. And the last time I talked to you last week, you were outside planting flowers. That's a good sign, right?
That is a good sign. you know, and I felt last week was a great week for me. And so I expect the same thing out of this week.
Well, that's wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on. And let's go, Coach Oz and the Golden Eagles.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Coach. We'll be looking forward to getting you back on real soon.
Okay, appreciate it.
Coach Joy Lee McDellis, everybody. Big baseball supporter, as you can tell. We're going to talk about baseball next with Andrew Abbey. It is tournament week, guys. Eagle Hour will be broadcasting from Montgomery starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Dr. Paul is our opening guest. We've got great guests all week. 2 hours on Thursday, an hour on Friday. We watch the Golden Eagles battle for a second consecutive Sun Belt Conference Championship. Right back. Andrew Abbey's next.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, thanks, Coach Joy Lee McDellis, joining us first half of the show. Glad to hear she's doing so well. Exciting news about some of these players coming in to join the Lady Eagle basketball team. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you get a great lunch every day, 11 to 1 o'clock, where all the baseball games will be on the TV this weekend, all week long, through the weekend. 4th Street Bar and Grill, the place to be. If you're not going to be in Montgomery, you can certainly catch the Golden Eagles at 4th Street Bar and Grill. I want to say hello as well to our friends at Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Great place for a great dessert and a great place to show your support for Southern Miss while enjoying delicious food, Mo Bay Beignet on Hardy Street. Andrew Abbey is an excellent local sports writer, does a great job, I believe, covering Southern Miss athletics. We're always glad to get his insight on the Eagle Hour. Andrew, day before the Golden Eagles take the field, I thought you put out a really interesting article over the weekend about five Golden Eagle players that need to really step up this week in order for the Eagles to repeat as the conference champion. Let's quickly run down those five. You name them off and tell us why you think their performance will be so important?
Well, first off, thanks for the kind words and thanks for having me back on. But get to it. And honestly, I probably should have clarified and put this is five guys that are going to be important for the postseason period, not just the Sun Belt tournament.
Right.
But number one is true freshman Josh Ock. You know, we've all seen the potential that he has. You know, he's really come on this last, call it, month of the season. And a lot of these guys have come on the last month of the season. But, you know, in his last four appearances, he's had six strikeouts, no walks, allowed two runs off two hits, and that was only against Coastal. And then, and that's just in 6.2 innings of work. You know, we've seen it every year. Some sort of young pitcher kind of comes out of nowhere for them and delivers them the game of their life in the postseason, the game of their season. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again for the last, I don't know, at least 2018.
Right.
Josh Ock has laid the foundation for that. And if there was ever a year where they kind of need that depth in the bullpen to happen, it would really come from him.
Completely agree. I think he's really looked good and has a really bright future, I think. All right, who's next?
Both of the catchers, Lawson Odom and Tucker Stockman, truly just defense behind the plate. You know, they've kind of cooled off with their bats, particularly Tucker Stockman. But, you know, we all knew that having two freshman catchers behind the plate, you were going to take steps back. And, you know, for context, Blake Johnson and Rodrigo Montenegro were combined for, they caught 19 runners stealing in 32 attempts last year. Whereas these two, and I'll have to do the math in my head, there's been 48 attempts. And I think they've only caught nine of them.
Since
April, Stockman is 3 for 5 in catching guys stealing base, and Odom, he's only caught three guys all season, but they've come in the last month. He's 3 for 9. So there's been improvement, but they are going to have to try and control the bases better. You know, they've played a little bit better just from the eye test defensively with just not allowing pass balls, stopping wild pitches. You know, they've been a little bit better with just a few things, but they still have their freshman moments or their first year moments. But, you know, if they run into a team that is known to run around the bases, you know, Southern Miss could pay for it, especially with how inconsistent Southern Miss's pitching can be sometimes. I know they've played well, but you know, that's something that really bit them earlier in the year.
Right, for sure. All right, number four.
Matthew Russo. We all know he's got the hot bat right now. You know, I compared him to when Dustin Dickerson got the hot bat last year. It wasn't until mid-April that Russo hit his first home run, and he's hit six since. Since he hit that home run, which was against Georgia State, he is now hitting .417, or he's hitting .417 in that stretch. He's driven in 22 runs. You know, that's, I would assume, is the highest mark on the team. I did a story on Slade Wilkes the other day, and his hitting streak kind of starts right around the same time. He's hitting about .390. So I would say Russo's safely the best hitting hitter right now. You know, and earlier in the year when they were having to put Gillespie at first base, you were definitely missing that defensively. And Russo is, and you saw it in the spring and fall, Russo is the best glove at first base. So it's kind of, you know, they've really needed him to put it all together. And, you know, it's no secret that since he started to put it together, they're winning more baseball games. I know they're 9 of the last 10, but they're also, I think, 15 of their last 19 that they've won.
Right. No question. And number five.
Number five, and this might be the most important one of them all, is Kobe Allen. You know, Kobe Allen kind of knew from the fall and spring that he was going to be their, you know, really their breakout pitcher of the year. We've all kind of seen the jump that he's made from having a lot of true freshman moments to, you know, being their go-to guy out of the pen. I'd say about the last month, they've tried to ease off of using him as a mid reliever and, you know, kind of stick to him more as a closer role, which has gone well for him. In the last seven games, he's given up just 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and he struck out 16. In his last 4 games, he's recorded a save. So you know, obviously he's going to see big moments and very critical situations. You know, he's going to step on the mound at least two times, maybe even three. Does he become, when you're in a semifinal game or in a championship game or maybe in the regionals, is he the guy that you're going to start and hopefully he gives you four or five innings instead of putting him on the back end? Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many elements that Kobe Allen could be used in. And, you know, he's going to, you know, without question, see the most appearances other than maybe Cross Sibley and some of the biggest situations in this postseason. So, you know, Kobe Allen, my pick for probably a guy who has to really bring his best stuff in the next few weeks.
Right. I agree with everything you've said, Andrew. I want to ask you this. Is it not really important, that on Wednesday and Thursday the starters go deep into the baseball game to try and keep the bullpen as fresh as possible, knowing that you've got to win four games if you stay in the winner's bracket? You've got to have some pitchers you can rely on in games three and four.
Yeah, no, they Nico and Billy need to go six or seven if they want to have any hope of bringing home a conference title. You know, if they don't, that bullpen gets diminished early. It's going to be a hold your breath moment. Yes, we've seen guys step up. JB Middleton looks like a different guy with a two seam fastball. Ben Riley Flowers has given them some nice innings lately. But you know, your options are limited, and you have to wonder what happens if they lose a game. What the pitching staff really starts to look like. There's just not a lot of margin for error in for the staff right now. And, you know, you could also make the same argument for Cross Sibley and Kobe Allen. If Cross Sibley is going to be run out there, he needs to, you know, go four or five innings, whatever the circumstances might be, realistically finish the game. You know, that's going to be really, really critical on this pitching staff. And you know, looking at the bracket, they're going to see some really good hitting teams. You know, I would say next to Southern Miss, App State's playing really good baseball right now. And that's a team that, if I'm Southern Miss's pitching, you might want to start scouting now. You know, there's just some really good hitting teams in this conference, as we know.
If you were a betting man, Andrew, who would you bet the Golden Eagles are going to play? They're going to play the top-seeded team out of the play-in games. And if you were going to bet today, and I forced you to bet your next paycheck, who would you say the Golden Eagles will play Wednesday?
Well, let me lead off by saying my paycheck wouldn't be much, so I wouldn't be winning a whole lot. Yeah, that's a tough one. I genuinely don't know. It could go, you know, any three ways. You know, it's a tough one. Like, it's a genuine toss-up. I do think, I'll say this, I do think they'll meet App State along the way. I just, they've played really good baseball. I know Troy is too, but, you know, that's a scary little bracket. But yeah, that first few games, gosh, that's tough. I don't know. That's, yeah, you got me on that.
I think we're all just be guessing because I think,
yeah, no.
Tell me if you agree, anybody can beat anybody this week. Anybody can win the tournament.
I would think from seven on, and it was like this last year, from, you know, the seventh, eighth seeded team, anybody could get hot and win this tournament. I mean, this is a good baseball conference. I think it just dropped to fifth in RPI and conferences, but, you know, they've been at four all year. I mean, this is one of the best conferences in college baseball right now.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, can you hang on through the break? I want to finish the show up with you if you're good.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, Andrew Abbott's with us. We're going to finish up this Tuesday edition of the Eagle Hour with Andrew, and then I guess we're gonna all head out to Montgomery, Alabama. We're sure looking forward to it. We'll be right back, more with Andrew Abbott on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And don't forget, you can hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, and lots of you do. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, this segment of the program is sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place to take your children for baseball and softball training. Luke Reynolds, former Golden Eagle great, is the main man down there, and he'll hook you up and take care of your children. Also want to thank Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, for their sponsorship of our program. They've been on Hardy Street since 1983 and offer a big variety of dry cleaning services. You can call them at 601-264-4920. Andrew Abity with me, a sports writer extraordinaire. And Andrew has agreed to join the Eagle Hour Thursday. We'll be broadcasting from 1 to 3. Andrew joining, here's our guest list as of today. Commissioner Keith Gill, Dr. Joe Paul, Jeremy McClain, John Cox, Jack Duggan, Daniel Stewart, and Andrew Abity, leading that list of celebrities who will be on the Eagle Hour. And maybe I think we're going to have you there about the same time that we anticipate having Keith Gill, Andrew. So that that should be a fun afternoon, and we'll invite you to jump in there and ask him some questions yourself if we have him on the set come Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm sure Keith will love that.
I'm sure. All right, Andrew. This segment's a short one, about 5 minutes, but let's obviously look ahead to the elephant in the room. Give me your favorite to win the tournament and your dark horse, the most, what you see as the most dangerous team lurking out there.
So dark horse, I've kind of alluded to it. It's in my mind is App State. They're just playing really good baseball. You know, last year they were kind of peaking at this time last season, and they're kind of a much different team in that they're still doing it. You know, people remember that App State beat USM last year, and we had to play a second semifinal game. So, you know, that's kind of my dark horse. But, you know, in the same bracket, I think Troy was my favorite in the preseason to win the regular season. And honestly, I'm going to kind of just stick with that since I rode with it. But, you know, I think it did come down to either Troy or UL.
As you look at the bracket and the way the tournament was set up, does USM, I thought last year had a favorable bracket. This year it looks like to be with App, Troy, Coastal. That's not an easy bracket.
Yeah, I mean, Coastal just has seemed to have never really come alive after they after that 8-game losing streak they went on. But, and you know, we kind of saw this last year. You know, Coastal plays on that short stadium, and then they get to a minor league stadium, and all of a sudden their home runs are outs. I mean, Coastal really struggled with that last year. I suspect Georgia State's going to have to deal with that as well. So, you know, and not to mention Coastal's pitching is just not – it's just not there. They've had so many injuries. I just don't see – I don't see Coastal coming out of it. And you have to wonder what that's going to do with the NCAA tournament, because traditionally – the committee tries to allow a retiring winning coach to have one more run in the tournament, and I just don't see it for Gary Gilmore and company right now, unless they somehow win four games and make some up some sort of unexpected run.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and that's unfortunate because I know he has battled some pretty severe health issues and has been a great baseball coach. Little question about that. You know, a team that kind of scared me a little earlier in the year, and to see what you think. What do you think about Georgia Southern?
You know, they're a good baseball team. We've seen it before. Not that long ago, they didn't host a regional before USM entered the Sun Belt. But, you know, Georgia Southern, I think, is a good team. I think they're missing some pieces. But, you know, it's like we said, I think if anybody got hot in this tournament, it wouldn't be a surprise. I don't think it would surprise anybody who follows the Sun Belt to see a team that's not Southern Miss, Troy, or UL win it. I mean, it's just, this was a tough league. So I wouldn't sleep on Georgia Southern. You can't really sleep on anybody. You know, James Madison's another one too.
Yeah, no, you're right. You can't sleep on anybody. Minute left. I wanted to get your thoughts about this. There was some angst among the fan base, believe it or not, Andrew, throughout the course of the year. But, you know, Rick Cleveland pointed out Tuesday night after the Ole Miss game that Southern Miss lost 70% of its roster last year to the draft and to graduation. And yet here they sit on the verge of another 40-win season. Your thoughts, I mean, I think a remarkable job by the first-year coach, Oz, but I'd like to get your thoughts on the season as a whole as we get ready to start postseason.
Yeah, no, without question. And I would say Oz has an argument for coach of the year in the Sun Belt just because of that. You know, this is about where I thought they'd be. I know fans don't see it as clearly as maybe the people who are around it most of the time. But I mean, to lose 70% of your team and you know, lose some of the greatest pitchers that have come through at Southern Miss in the last 2 years, that's hard. That's very, very hard to replicate. There's very few programs, if any, that can duplicate that kind of talent every year. So, you know, I've said it before on the show, but right where they should be, right?
Right. Hey, Andrew, we appreciate all the great coverage you give to Southern Miss. Sure appreciate your contributions to our show. And Andrew's going to be back with us Thursday from Montgomery. We look forward to that. We thank you, Andrew.
Appreciate it again.
Okay, Andrew Abbey, everybody. All right, that wraps up the show. We are on the road. Coverage of the Sun Belt Tournament starts tomorrow at 1 o'clock from Riverfront Stadium, Montgomery, Alabama. We can't wait. We hope you'll join us each and every day. Until we talk again, Southern Miss to the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.